Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS. We are Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Good morning. Welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
And today, Chris, it is both a delight and an honor to have with us Father Mitch Pacwa, ordained to the priesthood in 1976. Father Pacwa, of course, a regular on EWTN and heard right here every Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. as host of EWTN Open Line Live. Father Pacwa has taught at high school, seminaries, and university levels, has lectured at conferences and churches around the world, and has appeared and hosted hundreds of international radio and television programs, fluent in 12 languages, and has extensive travels throughout the Middle East. They give him a really unique understanding of the people and cultures of this region. 2000, Father Pacwa established Ignatius Productions to further promote the gospel through multimedia teaching presentations. And Father Pacwa, delighted to have you here. And I trust you're doing well?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good.
You.
We're excited to be talking to you. Dare I say, I have to make a confession.
Oh?
I love Go in Peace.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you like that? Oh, good.
Yes,
good.
Go in Peace, your guide to the purpose and power of confession. 101 questions and answers. Thank you so much for putting this out. This is an excellent resource.
Oh, great. I'm delighted. It was a lot of fun to write. My co-author and I are good friends, and so that also makes it more fun to do some of the writing together. And we've been very, very happy to with the response that we've got from doing this book. So it's been very cool.
You've covered so many topics, Father, and I think one of the big mistakes we make is that somehow we park confession and we stop having it as an emphasis in our lives.
I find myself that's not the only season when I sin.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You have that problem, too?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my.
Yes, I do, in fact. And, I need to go to confession more often than that.
Mm.
And my confessor agrees.
Yeah. He won't tell anybody, though.
No, he did. Well, he won't tell me. He won't say what I've said, that's for sure, because that's one of the things that's what's called a reserved sin. Only the Pope can absolve that sin.
Mm-hmm.
So serious that a person would break the seal of the confession. A priest would do that. And it's one of the things that Sean and I investigated when we were writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
How often do we have cases of priests breaking the seal of the confessional? And it's very rare,
yeah.
Very rare. As a matter of fact, we couldn't find any. The only time we found any such kind of case is when the priest did not break the seal. That's the only time it ever came up. I mentioned in the book the story of a French priest who was convicted of murder and sent to one of the prison colonies that the French Empire had. And he went there, and 2 or 3 years later, the man who actually committed the murder came out and confessed his crime.
Mm.
And it wasn't a priest at all. And the priest didn't complain, he didn't say anything. As far as he was concerned, this is just part of what, he had to do as a priest, is to go ahead and hear this confession. And that was the thing. He had heard the confession of the actual murderer, and he couldn't indicate in any way, not with the slightest look or comment of any type, could he say or indicate what had happened.
Wow.
And so he just had to suffer through that. And that's exactly what he did. I was very much edified by that.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. We all should be. It is such a beautiful sacrament, such an encounter of grace, of Christ's healing and love for us and for our own recognition. Why is it today, Father, that it's something that doesn't seem to be received by the church, by the people, or in some cases, not given on a regular basis by parishes?
Right. Well, this is one of the things that I find fascinating, actually, because I think part of the problem is, I've come across this in a number of circumstances, that the priests themselves don't want to hear the confession.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, it's something that's been recent that I've come across. Priests will say, well, I'm just a man, I can't hear confession.
Mm-hmm.
well, yes, you are just a man, but actually you can hear a confession.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That is the authority that you've been given. And, you know, there seems to be somebody who's teaching that in a, I don't know if, I think it's in books and in some commentaries and lectures that this one teacher has given. And it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we priests, you know, do have the authority to go ahead and hear confession. It's an authority given by Christ himself.
Mm.
You know, and that's something that's very important to keep in mind. That Jesus, our Lord, gave that authority on Easter Sunday night when he said, whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained.
Mm-hmm.
So that's crucial. And what a gift it is. You know, and I've certainly found it to be a great gift. And so that's one of the things that I very much appreciate as a priest in hearing confessions is, you know, that gift that Christ has won for us by his dying on the cross. When he said on the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they're doing.
Mm.
Boy, do I love that, you know, that Jesus not only forgives us, but he gives us the excuse.
Yes. He's a good Lord.
Yes, he is.
Well, Father, you do bring up several of those questions in Go in Peace, where one of the questions, number 14, the Bible says that only God can forgive sins,
yeah.
Not man.
Right. And here's the difficulty. It is something that man can do when God tells him to. You know, as a matter of fact, one of the things I brought up in the book that, you know, I hadn't thought of until I was writing it, and I was giving a sermon on the passage myself. I came across the line where that was what the Pharisees said to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When he forgave the man who was paralyzed, and they let him down through the roof,
mm-hmm.
Right.
And he said, son, your sins are forgiven. And what did the Pharisees say? Only God can forgive sins. Who does this man think he is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he thinks he's God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is not the line that you want to be contradicting, you know, our blessed Lord on here.
Yes.
I think it's very important for us to have a very clear sense that what we're doing is very much working to, you know, give this gift of repentance, you know, an offer that tremendous, tremendous gift. I just love it, you know, as a confessor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's one of the things that I also like about doing this book.
I think for many of us, we've forgotten, or we just don't have a sense of what true sin is. And we're not necessarily hearing it from the pulpit either.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think goes on is, and I've spoken about this problem in a number of circumstances, we have, in one sense, what I call the Jerry Springer model of forgiveness. You know, there's nothing wrong with what you do. It's your private business and all that. So you don't need to do anything about it. And so this is something that, you know, don't worry about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nobody's business. Those kind of lines are very common. And here's the difficulty I have with that, is we very much need to have this gift of the sacrament of penance where we can own up responsibility. See, that's what a lot of folks don't want to do, is take responsibility for their misbehavior.
Yes.
And so that's one of the difficulties as well.
I think that's so important. And as you point out, you take us through, actually, through the 101 questions and answers in Go in Peace. In our mind, we logically go to the next progression. Well, I go and I confess, but then you habitually do the same thing over and over again.
Right, right, right. And this is one of the things that the church has very much recognized from its early days, that, you know, there's a difference between the sin that is a habitual compulsion and the sin that's really chosen, but the church wants to help us deal with both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that we ignore the bad habits that we get ourselves into. We do pay attention to those bad habits, but we also, and we work against them. Mm-hmm. We don't try to make them into a career like some of these girls in Hollywood.
Oh.
I mean, they're so sad. You know, the way that they try to make their sinful behavior into, you know, a business.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the first time that's ever happened. Yes. But it's not a good thing. And so this is one of the things that we very much need to have a better understanding. What can we do to help people to say that even if a sin is a bad habit, I can't help myself. You don't understand how difficult it is. Oh, yeah, well, try me. I may understand. You know that sin is dealing with sin, and the evil of sin is tough for everybody, not just you.
Right.
And you're not the first one to go through it. And this is where Christ, our Lord, has definitely given us a way out. So that's what we need to really seek here.
We're talking with Father Mitch Pacwa, Go in Peace, your guide to the purpose and power of confession. And Father, in that nature of sin, you bring up in your book here, one of the questions revolves around the unforgivable sin, or that sin against the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Can you expound on that a little bit for us? And I mean, because Jesus spoke pretty powerfully about that unforgivable sin.
And he very much meant it. You know, that there's a sin that can't be forgiven. And Pope John Paul addressed this issue because it concerns a lot of people. They worry that they've committed the unforgivable sin. And one of the things that I think is very important for them to realize is that, yes, the sin does exist. You know, it's not something that our Lord was just sort of talking off the top of his head. It's a very important sin to recognize that you can commit a sin that will not be forgiven. But, or cannot be forgiven. But that doesn't mean, therefore, that you've necessarily committed it. What a lot of people, I think, feel badly about is my sin is so embarrassing. God can't possibly forgive me because I don't forgive myself.
Yeah.
And then the next stage is to start to think, well, you know, maybe if I were to confess this, that God would really hate me. That's another part of the mentality that some people have. And that's something that's definitely not what God intends for us to think. He doesn't want us to think that he hates us or would hate us or wants to hate us or anything like that. That's not the way our Lord acts in any way, and we have to remember that. Now, the thing that I would say is, like St. Thomas Aquinas, that the was a good guy to follow there.
Mm-hmm.
The unforgivable sin refers to that choice that we make to say, "My sin is so bad, God can't ever forgive me."
Mm.
Yeah.
That's what Pope John gets from St. Thomas Aquinas, and I think it's very important for us to remember that that's not what the Lord wants. It's not what our Lord intends for us to do, and that's why he warned against it. But it's basically Judas Iscariot did that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "My sin was so bad, I betrayed God so badly that I can't be forgiven."
Mm.
And so he hung himself. That's the sin of despair. And by saying this, what happens is you make yourself unforgivable,
right.
You know, because of your own choice. You make this choice to say, well, I can't be forgiven, therefore I won't ask for it, because it can't be given to me. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's what our Lord is warning against.
That, on a very deep level, can be a motivation for some, and unfortunately for many, I think, I don't want to say it's a superficial level, but when we are too concerned about the priest recognizing our voice.
Oh, yeah.
Or that somehow you're going to remember everything I've said to you.
Well, see, here's one of the... I tell you the reality that I deal with all the time. A, I don't try to remember. B, I can't. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really don't try to remember, because it's not something that, you know, I've told this story in other places. Archbishop Sheen told first about the Catholic and the Jewish kid are fighting. I have an argument, and one, the Catholic says, "My priest knows more than your rabbi." And the Jewish kid says, "No, my rabbi knows more. They go back and forth, and finally the Jewish kid concedes that, all right, maybe your priest does know more, but it's because you tell him everything. Well, the reality is, we priests don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't remember. And I don't try to. I don't want to, because the thing that goes on in confession is not primarily about my action. The primary element of confession, as is true of every single one of the seven sacraments, is that it's what God is doing by His grace. That's the key. And I want to have that clear sense of what God's grace is doing in me and for me, not what I'm doing by my own human wit, and oftentimes lack thereof.
Yeah. Beautifully said.
One section that I was surprised to see it as much time as you spent on it, but I was really glad you did, was on indulgences.
Oh,
because
yeah.
You weren't embarrassed by it.
No. Why would I be?
Well, you know that indulgences is one of those things that Protestants have thrown up at us, or whatever happened back in the Middle Ages. And so for Catholics, we don't want to touch that, but actually it's quite a great gift.
Oh, yeah, it is. You know, I know people who are so badly in debt that they want an indulgence from the bank.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They've paid their money more than once, more than one time over. And so they're glad to get an indulgence from the bank. Now, if you're worried about not being able to pay the bank back, what do you think is going to be the case when it comes to God our Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, this is a very important aspect of our training in the faith. We are not able to pay back the debt that we owe to God. We're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond our ability. And that's something that is very important to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
That God, the debt that we owe to God is infinite. And the debt that I owe to the bank is very limited,
mm-hmm,
compared to the one that I owe to God. Now, what makes that I'm going to be able to do anything about that debt? Nothing. I there's no way that I have any ability to pay it back. And so this is one of the things that I very much want to have a sense of realizing Christ pays that debt for me. Now, that's not only by dying on the cross. See, that's what the Protestant point is.
Mm-hmm.
He did that on the cross, and he paid it once and for all, and that there's no more debt to be paid by Christ, because he's done it all. But
mm-hmm,
the reality is, when it comes to my sin, I oftentimes have a lot more than just that one moment of forgiveness. I realize, as I move along, that my own need for reconciliation is quite thorough. And mm-hmm, so, and that the things that I've done wrong, again, a husband and wife, it's, I always say that, when you're sorry, you should express your sorrow. But tell your wife you're sorry, tell your husband you're sorry. But it really doesn't hurt to bring a dozen roses, too.
Right.
Were you any less sorry? No, you're just as sorry. But the expression of the grief and the sorrow for the sin is something that is really important to you. And so you go ahead and show that by the way that you respect your spouse in giving them this extra gift.
Mm.
And so with indulgences, see, that would be in terms of the retribution that's due to sin.
Right.
In terms of indulgences, the saint, first of all, Christ, he is the source of all indulgences.
Right.
All right. Not the way some people indulge themselves.
Yes.
I mean, in terms of you gotta watch what you say these days, because there are people who talk about indulgence as part of a commercial.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
And that's not what our Lord means by it at all. But the reality is that Christ won, did win the merit. But we also have to make this move to apply those merits to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that I can say that I'm sorry, but I also have to deal with the effects of my sin. Like a husband, should give some roses, or wife make something that's an extra special favorite dish for her husband. These are the kind of things that you do to show that the sorrow is concrete reality. Well, the indulgence is that, but it's this great gift that Christ wins. And the way that Pope John Paul described it when he declared the Holy Year,
mm-hmm.
is that it's like the white garment that the bride of Christ wears that is the righteous deed of the church. And mm-hmm. that's his image.
Right.
He says these are the righteous deeds of the church. And therefore, when you have this gift of these righteous deeds of the church, then you get to have the sense of the gift being poured out upon a husband and wife.
Mm.
And they are on the sinner from the bride of Christ. Her beautiful white garment, the righteous deeds of all the saints, covers over our sin. And so all that we're doing in asking for an indulgence is saying, Lord, we need to have that covering, because this is something that is very much, I just need to pull the folds over me so that I'm covered up from my sin. That's the gift that's going on with adults. That's a very important.
I love the way you describe that, because
yeah.
as you put it in the book, it's, you can't get caught up in some purgatorial clock, like somehow it...
Right, there's no time in purgatory.
Yeah.
Right.
The sisters taught us that in grammar school. So that's a great reality. But I also do need to have this great gift of God's mercy applied to me. That's cool.
It's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Now, Father, one of the other things that I was surprised by but yet delighted to see in the book was the fact that you touched on the nature of spiritual direction, the differences between confession and spiritual direction.
Yes.
And
yes.
And how you go about choosing a spiritual director. I think
right.
a lot of people are curious about this.
Well, here's one of the things. Spiritual direction is itself a great gift that we all need to get. With spiritual direction, what we're talking about is having somebody who knows us well enough to be able to help us to discern what Christ wants of us. That is itself a tremendous thing, and to help us learn to listen to Christ so that I'm not doing my will, but the will of the Father.
Mm.
That's the ultimate issue in the spiritual life. How do I do the will of the Father instead of my own will? And so that's one of the cool, very cool things that I like to see people focus on. So that's something that you have to choose the spiritual director differently from somebody who is your confessor. Because your spiritual director needs to know the various movements of your own heart and soul.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Know what it is that is going to be a means of God's grace and how the Lord is leading you in a particular way. And he leads different folks very differently. It's not all one size fits all, one spirituality fits all. That's one of the things that we very much want to see as a gift, for the spiritual director to give. Well, that is not necessarily about the issue of sin. It can be, but it's not necessarily about sin.
Right.
It's also about other issues, such as the issue of how do you discern your vocation?
Mm-hmm.
How do you deepen your prayer life? How do you deepen the approach you have to your spiritual life? These are all very key issues, and it's not always easy to know, because some people, that their spiritual life is, I'd say, the most intimate element of the human existence. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I would add that there is very much importance in making sure that you take on that spiritual director, and maybe have him your confessor, maybe not. It's certainly not necessary mm-hmm. any means. Sometimes it may even be better not to have the spiritual director as your confessor, because it can confuse the roles if you're not careful. So that's one of the things that I would, some of the stuff I would talk about. And finding a spiritual director is not always so easy.
Yeah.
It's definitely a challenge to find a good spiritual director.
I think it is. I think it was St. Francis de Sales said that it can be a very, very difficult thing, and it has to be something that Christ leads you to.
Exactly.
Again, Go in Peace, Your Guide to the Purpose and Power of Confession. Thank you so much, Father Mitch, especially for the section on preparing to celebrate the Sacrament of Penance mm-hmm. by giving us an examination of conscience, of course, yeah. based on the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, right. What else would you base it? Well, there's probably something to do with you. Again, you could base it on psychology or something like that. But that's, you know, and again, I hope I make clear, I'm not against psychology as such.
Right.
You know, psychology has its role, but it's not the same thing as confession. And I always say that psychologists are like good hunting dogs. A good hunting dog helps you track down what you're supposed to do, but they're not the same as the hunt. Christ is the one who shoots down the sin. The hunting dog just helps to point where the problem is. And that's the task that we have, mm-hmm. Is to use psychology for its own abilities, but don't try to make it do something that it's not capable of doing. And don't reject psychology, just keep it in balance.
I think that, too, has been a little bit of a problem when we talk about spiritual direction and confession, because when the two almost blend together sometimes, that may prevent people from going to that frequent reception of confession,
right.
to be able to kind of cut that out of their lives. It's like going to a physician to have that tumor removed. Confession is that it's a triage to a certain extent.
Yeah, oh, that's interesting. I never thought it was, yeah.
That popped in my head all of a sudden.
that's interesting. I like that.
But then you go as often as you need it. And I think that's been the big barrier for some, because they feel I need to go and have that growth that happens with spiritual direction, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But don't let it stop you from going frequently to confession to deal with those times that it keeps popping back up.
Right. I don't think we should slow down going to confession at all.
It is very important, and I think that's what's so great about the examination of conscience that you have.
Oh, good. Good. Well, I'm glad for that.
Yeah, I think through the Ten Commandments, we can all find plenty of stuff. I know when I was looking at it, I was going, ooh, okay.
Oh, I know. Yeah. That's what I was saying. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I also love the story that I heard about how Pope John Paul II one time was, at a luncheon with bishops who were there for their ad limina visit, and some of the bishops were saying, one of the bishops, an American, was saying, Holiness, you have to understand that a lot of our young people don't even know that some things are a sin.
Mm. Yeah.
He said, this is true, but, and these people, these young people are not guilty, but for the bishop who does not tell them that they are guilty, he is responsible.
Mm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That made everybody go back to eating their soup.
Yeah.
Now, Father, the thing I love about the aspects of Go in Peace, Your Guide to the Purpose and Power of Confession, is the fact that, I mean, you have a lot of things laid out. It's a question and answer kind of format, 101
yeah.
questions and answers. And I'm old enough and have enough gray hair to remember something that we used to call Easter duty.
Oh, yeah.
So how often should, by the code of canon law, we go to confession? And when I hear the answer to this, I'm always... That's never enough. Are you kidding me?
Right, it's not. The minimum that you're required to go to confession is once a year during Easter time. And, you know, that's the minimum amount of time that you have to go. Now, you're absolutely right as rain and fine as frog hair. That's not nearly enough. It's not nearly enough. I need to go to confession a lot more than that. I need to go. I prefer to go every couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I need. But the thing that can go more often, but the bare minimum is once a year if you've committed mortal sin.
Right.
And if you haven't committed mortal sin, then you're not under that. You don't have to, but you definitely have to go at least once a year.
Again, so many people go during Lent, and they always feel so much better after they go. It's
right.
Don't wait another year.
Yeah.
Right, right.
I mean, go now.
Exactly. Exactly.
And another thing in the book that's so wonderful is that you hold our hand through celebrating the Sacrament of Penance. So
oh, yeah.
You could even take the book in with you, and you just kind of guide them along so they, it's just like you're there holding their hand.
Right. You know, and that's what I want them to be able to do what they can to take care of this.
Right.
Because that's the key issue. What can you do to take care of this? And get, you know, this great sacrament, something that you can deal with. That's the bottom line, the key issue. You know, it's not the, again, not that we priests get to hear all the dirt or anything.
Yeah. That's not the fun part.
No. The fun part is in offering the absolution.
Hmm.
That's the part I love.
I bet. What a wonderful opportunity to be that conduit of grace.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really is cool.
Well, a confession is one of those, like you said, you'd gone to the Catechism of the Catholic Church and said that one sins, the penitent looks squarely at the sins he is guilty of, takes responsibility for them, opens himself up again to God and to the communion of the Church in order to make a new future possible.
Exactly.
I mean, what a beautiful healing sacrament, and what a beautiful book from Father Mitch Pacwa. Again, it's called Go in Peace, Your Guide to the Purpose and Power of Confession. Father, thanks for being with us today. We deeply appreciate it.
Well, it's my honor. We also want to let folks know, if they want some of, not only the book, they can go to Ascension Press. Want to let them know that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Their website, or they can go to my website, FatherMitchPacwa.org.
Thanks again, Father. Could we ask for your blessing?
Oh, yeah. May the Lord bless you and keep you, may cause His face to shine upon you, and lead you by His peace in all of your ways. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Father Mitch Pacwa, thank you so much again for being with us. We deeply appreciate it.
My pleasure.